This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
So, like, take off to the great white north.
Beauty.
Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Jeez. Take off, you hosers.
Hey guys, welcome back to Hosers. This is episode 93, the Doug Gilmore / London Knights Mitch Marner episode. I'm your host, Chris Killingsworth, and I will definitely not fall apart in the playoffs this episode. Let me just say that. I'm here with my hosts, co-hosts, Thomas Williams and Carter Lupel. Carter, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on, Chris?
It's going well. Thank you for asking. Thomas Williams, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Good.
Yeah, just hanging out, you know. Just excited to talk about some NHL drama, right?
Oh, I can't wait to talk about the NHL drama from this past week. But before we do that, I wanted to let you guys know that I'm currently playing NHL 21, and the Toronto Marlies are up against the Arizona Coyotes. And let me just tell you that the Arizona Coyotes are going to be really bad next year. Let me just tell you that. Because their top center is Nick Schmaltz, who is perennially injured. And, you know, they've also got Christian Dvorak, who's probably going to get traded to the Habs next week. So anyhow, Carter, what are you doing? Are you on a walk right now?
I'm on a walk with the boys up at the cottage. We've just been burning the candle at both ends, building the boathouse this week. My parents want it done before Labor Day, so we've been trapped up here.
There you go.
Is that with the boat?
I'm sorry?
So you're storing that boat you bought?
No, it's because for permitting for the township, you technically have to call it a boathouse, but it's a bunkie. It's just more sleeping space for our huge family.
Dude, bunkies are absolutely, like, in my opinion, the best place to sleep in a cottage.
Oh, absolutely. You get the wind blowing from all four sides. It's insane.
Yeah, bunkies are great. We have one at our cottage. I'm a big fan. I love sleeping in the bunkie because when you want to be cold, it's freezing. And when you want to be hot, it's like hot. So it does the trick.
Like in the winter, like you want to be.
Like it's hot
in the winter. In the summertime.
Yeah. In the summer, it's because it's cool.
Such a small space. Like such a small space. It's so easy to control what's going on inside of it. Like if you have a big open cottage, it's never the temperature you want it to be, but
you want it to be exactly.
This little box will do the trick.
Yeah.
Hopefully I don't hate it by the time we have it up.
How big is it?
It's 12 feet by 20 feet. And then I think it's 18 feet high.
Oh, wow.
It's all decent.
Yeah. She's a monster.
That's wild. We're going into overtime. So you guys know, just to keep you guys updated. It's 3-on-3 overtime. Anyways, continue, Carter. I'll let you know if anything changes on my end.
Oh, that's okay. That's about it. This is one of the first times I've relaxed in a week and a bit. I haven't even slept in my own bed since I've been back from my big hike.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's
went
true.
Straight to the cottage?
I'm sorry?
You just went straight to the cottage?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, well, my parents are like, we want it done. And then I've just been it's been myself and my dad up here doing it. My dad has old hockey knees, so I've been building it and hanging walls, and like it's cool like that I'll be able to say I built it from scratch, like built it from the gravel up, right? So I'm just exhausted, ready to have sleep in my own bed.
Yeah. Well, you were here for like a little bit, like at Barry for a hot minute before you went back up. We won an overtime, just so you guys know. Brett Cini scored. Brett Cini.
Oh yeah.
Cini. He's from he's a new signing. I update the rosters manually. So
great you know. Players.
No. He's actually in the game, which is the funny part.
Yeah. You made like Jerry McKenna like a potential 99.
Jeremy McKenna, no.
Like an unnamed YouTuber. He's like gonna be with the Leafs, right? Like, come on.
Jeremy McKenna is not gonna be with the Leafs right away, no. But it was funny when you texted me a little while ago and you're like, Jeremy McKenna, and I was like, oh yeah, we love him. Moncton Wildcat. Alumni.
So the only reason I actually recognize the name too now is that I realized that he played with Alex Kovanov in Moncton. Mm-hmm. He's on the same line.
He sure did. That's right.
So all of Jeremy McKenna's success is because of Kovanov, easily. Mm. So, yeah.
The weird thing is like McKenna is like a typical Marlies. Well, because he doesn't have an NHL deal. He's on an AHL deal, but like he's like the typical player that you would expect the Marlies to like pick up on an AHL contract, where they had like goofy QMJHL numbers. Excuse me. And then I think he got drafted by Calgary when he was an overager, or he went to their camp and they didn't sign him or something. I can't remember, but he was supposed to be a Calgary Flame and then it like didn't work out.
Really hoping for that Giordano energy, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just a walk on. But anyways, yeah, so it's interesting, but, should we get into the Habs/Carolina drama?
Jesus Christ.
I guess that's like the big thing that we should talk about. Huh?
I mean, yeah, like anyone tuning in probably expects us to talk about it, right? Well, it would be us to just not talk about it.
It would be, we like are 3 weeks late on it.
Yeah.
To be honest, there's not much to talk about other than that it's like I just think there's no space for it. Like it's like, or do you guys want to break it down, or do you think everyone knows? Like,
Thomas, so why don't you break it down?
The Canes offer sheeted, or the Habs offer sheeted Aho was it $47 million in a few deals or a few years?
A 5-year deal.
$47.5 million for 5 years, and they offer sheeted Aho, and Aho accepted, and then the Canes obviously wanted Aho, so they matched it, and then now just to get back at the Habs during free agency, they now have offer sheeted Kotkaniemi, $6.1 million for 1 year, and then $20 signing bonus.
Which is pretty hilarious.
Yeah. It's like they've just been like trolling the Habs because it's exactly what Bergevin said when they offer sheeted Aho, like saying that like we built a base here, he wants to come here, he'll like what we've built. And then the Canes threw it back at the Habs, the exact same bullshit.
Let me ask you this, because I think we all feel pretty similarly about the deal. So let's do a quick roundtable here. Carter, use one word to describe your opinion on how this is playing out. One word.
How it's playing out? Or like the situation in general?
Let's do the situation in general. I think that could be more fun.
It's ridiculous.
Ridiculous? Okay, like that. Thomas, what's your word?
I'm going to say stupid, but with two O's and one of them is a zero.
I already know where Thomas is going with this. Like and that, I love that. That band.
I went on like a serious tweet. Like I like put on my hockey analyst hat on Twitter, I guess. Not really.
I didn't see this. I can't wait to hear your perspective. Oh, mine in the same lens as both of yours would be pwned with a P.
I think it's stupid from the Canes' point of view, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely. They fucked themselves.
Like it's so dumb. You would rather, I guess we'll just get right into it. You would rather overpay
or give away picks. Like, it's what the...
Yeah, even if Kotkaniemi, like, he's young. He finds his footing in Carolina. Even, like, if he goes to the wing because they don't really need, like, a desperate third-line center. Like, they have some pieces, at least, like, more than Montreal, and they don't need to cement him down the middle. Even if he's, like, becomes this, like, 50-point guy, can play on the penalty kill, like, is all right, whatever. Even if that's a ridiculous number to, like, kind of just have in a one-year deal, and it sets his qualifying offer for next year if he's not able to agree.
At 6.1.
Exactly. If he's not able to have a long-term extension. The Canes can get around it. And I think, I forget who tweeted it. Maybe it's Pierre LeBrun. He said the Canes have already discussed with Kotkaniemi about a long-term deal and what that will look like. So it's like, maybe after this year, they'll go for like 4 more years at like 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he needs to triple his production to be worth that kind of money.
Oh my God.
I think he's worth like 3 right now. I would say.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's like the percentage or whatever, like value, whatever, the stuff that I kind of hate. Yeah. But even like from the Carolina perspective, like, so you'd rather not re-sign Dougie Hamilton, who's like a top 50, we could all agree like top 15 defenseman in the NHL, top 10.
For a PR deflect.
Exactly. Well, like, yeah, I tweeted that too, because they're like, this is such like what? A shifty. I tweeted about that. Yeah, this is my tweet word for word right now. It's actually kind of, it's hashtag going viral. Guys.
Oh my God.
I'm just kidding. I fucking hate that. I said this whole thing is like a perfectly crafted PR move after signing D'Angelo.
Oh my God.
It has to be. All the cutesy social, the identical statement from Don Waddell, making everyone love this quirky-ass team and forget about giving them $1 million to a racist.
Yep, 1,000%. Yo,
so, yeah,
Thomas.
Get eyes off of Tony D'Angelo. Like, it's insane how stupid the entire thing is. And what this does is set the precedent for underproducing forwards, like, when they're encroaching on, like leaving their ELCs. And now if he gets paid this, now I'm sure we're going to see like a downward spiral in the league of people being like, okay, well, I had more than 26 points this season. I'm coming out of my ELC. How come I'm not even being offered $4 million? Like it's
fun. Yeah. Thomas, and so you need to,
it's a bad taste.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No. I completely agree. Thomas, you might want to unplug your mic and plug it back in. FYI.
I just did. How's that?
Oh, attaboy, king shit.
Because I heard you be like Thomas, and I was like, okay my mic's already fucking up.
Or I was gonna just be like, no, you're wrong. This is actually a really good idea. No, I think so. I agree with literally every sentiment that you guys have. And Thomas, I didn't see your tweet, but that is like basically perfectly sums up how I feel. I'm not even thinking necessarily about D'Angelo because, like, obviously that's what they're doing, like, that's very clear to me. But I also just think that, like, Carolina doesn't scare me in that way. So, like, for example, if this had been like Lou Lamoriello doing this type of shit, and it wasn't this like cutesy
to the iceberg. There's more to the iceberg if it was Lou Lamoriello.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're like, oh, okay, this guy is like no holds barred, right? But like Carolina, and let me preface this by saying that I like 90%, I would say, of what Don Waddell and you know, like that particular team there, like Darren York is their assistant GM. Like, I love everything that they've done draft wise. I think that that's all fine and dandy. But the cutesy, like, oh, you know, look at our social media. We're so edgy. We're so like for the people. It's like, yo, the only social media team that can do that effectively and have done a killer job at it is the LA Kings, period. That's the end of it.
Were they originators with it?
Yeah, like where that was kind of their thing. And now we have every single social team in the NHL. You know, the one that kind of comes to mind right now for me is the Devils that are trying to, you know, beat these people. And for the Canes, it's just like, when I saw the tweet go out initially, so actually, funny enough, I actually refreshed my Reddit and I saw that it was on Reddit. And then I was like, oh, this can't be real. And then when I went to check that out on Twitter, the fucking post was just LOL in big letters and the like statement beneath it. I just think that they're like a parody of themselves. And I think that most, and I might catch a little bit of heat for this, but like most like educated people who follow the sport and know the sport know that this is like goofy shit, right?
Yeah. But you're going to go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, there's a segment of the fan base that's like, ooh, they're getting them back. They're burning them. But to all the points that you guys have made, it's like not a good deal. Like, he's not worth that much.
You're just producing two protagonists in either fan base. Like, if Bergevin doesn't sign him for 6.1, then you have people who are like Kotkaniemi diehards who believe he's like, in a few years, he's going to be the guy and we shouldn't let him go. So you're going to piss off that. Yeah, exactly, right?
He's not Saku Koivu.
No, I know.
And then you're going to like get people mad if he does spend the money. You're also going to get people mad if Bergevin doesn't take the picks. And the Carolina end, it's the exact same thing. So all it's doing is, I don't think there's place for like this type of like pettiness or BS in hockey. Like it's supposed to, like, all it does is it shaves points off the game, like in regards to like the respect that it should hold or like that the fan base should have for it. Because
I agree.
Like it's like when I turn on, like when I like go on Twitter and go like searching for news and things like that, I don't see like LOL or like these ridiculous like ex-girlfriend like that won't, some people is like ex-girlfriend that won't let it go. Like I don't want to see that. I want to see like what's actually happening, things that are pertinent, things of substance that I can like use to like perpetuate my fandom, I guess. Stupid shit.
Yeah, and I don't know if we feel differently about it if, like, the D'Angelo / Hamilton shit didn't happen. Like, maybe we do look at it as, like, this, like, kind of funny moment. But to me, the moment is ruined because we know what they did in the offseason. And then on top of that, it's ruined because they look at it like it's a joke. And, like, I recognize that, this is probably going to make its way onto SportsCenter and it probably grows the game and all of these different things. And like, that's fine. But like, I don't know. It seems very cheap.
If you haven't secured Dougie Hamilton, don't throw $6.1 million away for an underproducing center. That's likely going to not even crack your lineup.
And especially if they want, so like also kind of my thoughts on this, like this prevents future offer sheets because they see that as like a revenge thing. And then also like if you're gonna throw out an offer sheet, there are countless RFAs right now that can get offer sheeted that will gladly accept that much money. Like Robert Thomas is a way better player than Kotkaniemi, insanely better player, I would say, same age. And if you don't think that throwing like 5 years 6.1 at him, you're paying the same compensation, you're gonna pay a first and a third at him. Say if you do go for like 5 years or 4 years, like get him right up to free agency or something and throw that at him and six, whatever, like then you have Robert Thomas, a really fucking good player. And like there's Eli Tolvanen too, that like, I don't know if he's a 10C guy, but like there's countless guys like Anthony Beauvillier Island. Like there's guys that are better players than Kotkaniemi. It's just like, it just comes across as it's like petty, weird thing. Like if he had the same skill level as like Elias Pettersson, and this was Pettersson, and you're like throwing money at him, like add an offer sheet.
Let's see what we can get.
Then like sure, then like that makes sense. It's not a petty move, even if it was like if quote unquote like Pettersson was on Montreal hypothetically, and like this was seen as like a swap or whatever, like a revenge thing, then it's like he's a really good player, whatever. But this is like, it's so clearly that it's just like them trying to just be cute and like do this when like there's so many other better players and other options to actually make your team better and not like have people like rejoin your like fan base and bandwagon just because you're like a little cute social team.
Yo, you know what like absolutely drove me ballistic, and you guys know that I'm like a secret Habs fan when I say this, is them changing all their social shit to French and knowing absolute fuck out of it.
It's just so stupid.
Don't get me wrong, I'm a Kotkaniemi fan. Like I like when he's playing well, and you definitely see that like his shortcomings are just lack of experience. Like he's a very poised hockey player for his age, and I think he will do well in a few years with the right development. But I think just he's the wrong, like, and I'm also like kind of sad to see it like him be like the centerpiece of all of this hockey drama, because this doesn't just have an effect on like teams and numbers and further things to do with offer sheets and stuff in the NHL, but that's like you're playing a fucking game with a 20-21 year old's head. Like it's like what is he gonna do now? Like if he goes and he underproduces and like on either side, and he's just caught in this like constant state of trying to play catch up to this finish line, like, and he's never gonna live up to what he's touted to be on paper now. Like this could be a career ender for the kid as well. Like you have to feel for the kid, right? And so
he's been yo-yoed like, around forever, and he's always.
But that's what I mean. Like he's such a good attitude going up and down to the Rocket, and like being scratched in the playoffs. Like you can tell he's just happy to be playing hockey. But something like this could be just that could be the nail in the coffin for this kid, right? Like you see it with like number one picks who like just never even cracked the NHL lineup because they had too much of a weight on their shoulders, right? And so I just hate that this organization is doing something, or these organizations, like it's not just the Canes, it's the Habs as well, but they're kind of toying with this kid's future and his like mental well-being and everything like that as well, you know.
Yes, Barry Yakupov, you hate to see it.
Yeah, like it's,
yeah, no, I don't like that they're playing a game like that. Like that's
no, me neither.
Yeah, like rant. I think if Kotkaniemi was like not so much of a heads down type of player, like type of guy or whatever, like just like kind of stick through it, then like I feel like he should be maybe request like a trade to a team that where he can get more of a shot in the lineup. Like they clearly don't want to play him. Like,
well, the other thing too, though, is that like for it to have gotten to where it's got to, and like I know you guys know this, we just haven't talked about it. He has to sign the offer sheet, so there's interest on his end to go to Carolina, just as there was interest for Aho to go to the Canadiens. Yeah. So it's like it's not just like a one-sided thing. Like remember when there was talks about like how Columbus was considering offer sheeting Marner, but like. They basically said he's not going to Columbus, so they didn't pursue it further than that. That's the other thing. Like, you know, who knows? Maybe it is, you know, like I almost feel like people would feel better about it if it had been a trade where like they recognized that he did need a change of scenery. And it sounded like I listened to 31 Thoughts before we recorded this morning because they did like an emergency episode last night. And it sounds like there was at least at one point the interest in him getting a fresh start somewhere, but like now to Carter's point, if it say he does go to Carolina and Montreal uses the assets to get like a Christian Dvorak or, you know, another centerpiece, you know, to play center, no pun intended. You know, you run into this issue where you are kind of setting him up for failure, because if it doesn't work in Carolina, then, you know, to Carter's point, it's like, you know, it's hard to come back from two franchises where you've, you know, had these huge expectations and you just couldn't meet them.
Oh, for sure. And like, but the thing is though, like on paper, like no kid's going to turn down being overpaid at least double what he's worth.
Yeah.
And
no,
like businessman is going to be like, going to take an absolute once in a lifetime opportunity and be like, listen, you should probably throw it away. Like this is the last time he'll get overvalued like this in his career. Like I hate, like I said, I'm a Kotkaniemi fan, but he's never gonna get this type of inflation or inflated deal ever again. And so like no business mind is going to say turn it down, and no kid looking at that paycheck is going to turn it down. So of course there's interest, right? Like,
well, especially like someone, that big signing bonus too.
Yeah, I know, that's huge. That's cost. That's what Starbucks cost down in Carolina. So
yeah. Get some Canes. Get some Bojangles.
Yeah, I was going to say Bojangles, where I got bullied. So, yeah, the last time I was bullied as an adult was in Bojangles. What?
Okay, you have to tell that story.
I will. You guys are going to love it.
But yeah, no, that's the only reason why I think they're fucking with his head is because it's like an undeniable offer. Like, and then like he's damned if he does and he's damned if he doesn't, right?
Yeah, like maybe we do see more, like maybe in the real like actual details of it there's more offer sheets than actual listed, but it's like it's just the player kind of that attitude and culture of kind of sticking by the team that drafted you kind of thing that they're not going to willing to sign it. Like
I need to let you know that I started up a game Leafs versus Habs while the pod's been going, and Kotkaniemi just scored on Mrazek, just so you guys know.
Oh, nice.
Wow,
he knew we were talking about
him. He's producing already.
He's staying. Exactly. He's staying. He's gonna...
If his EA numbers count towards his NHL like that, then he's then worth I think that. He'll be fine with the deal.
Yeah.
The funny thing is Kotkaniemi usually sims really well in franchise mode for the franchise mode players that listen. So
there you go.
Now you know.
Now you know the offer sheet.
I'm trying to find shelter here. Can you hear the rain on my hood?
A little bit. Kind of. Yeah, when you mentioned
it. Like, you're good. We're the Outdoors Channel or whatever. Wilderness.
OLN.
OLN, yeah.
Yeah, we're the Wilderness Podcast.
We're on OLN. we're presented by OLN. Jesus.
I love it.
Sponsored by MEC. That'd be sick.
But yeah, I think that's about all we have to say about talking to Emmy.
Whatever.
Yeah. That's all I have to say about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, when I said earlier that like I wasn't scared of them, is just like if Lou Lamoriello does an offer sheet and he, so like let's say it was like the Islanders that did this offer sheet, just like for example, and like knowing how Lou deals with things, you'd think that you're about to have a hit put out on you, right? Like it's just when I see the way that they carry themselves, I'm just like, oh my god, this organization is so embarrassing. They have so many good things about the organization that like speak for themselves, and then they do this type of shit. And I'm just like, you guys are fucking embarrassing.
Yeah,
yeah. If you focus on like securing your loose ends that you clearly need to secure,
yeah,
rather than like this bullshit, like you would. You'd be much farther ahead in the offseason than you would had you not done this, right?
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah, and they said that on 31 Thoughts too that I thought was kind of an interesting point was that when Aho got his offer sheet, it was on July 1st. So strategically, this time to offer sheet someone is actually pretty smart because the teams at this point are more or less already assembled. And now you're taking away like a pretty key part of Montreal. And adding to your team. But like the center depth in Carolina is not great. So if they were able to get Kotkaniemi, like that's probably a win from a center depth perspective, but he's not worth 6.135 million or whatever it is.
Like he is replaceable in Montreal. Like you can find someone that like consistently track the lineup, then
maybe they like give Ryan Poehling a shot to play for more than 5 games at a time. That'd be nice.
Well, that's anything like anything not top six is there's no consistency or like there's no security in the spot in the lineup in Montreal. Like that's just how they work there.
I wish that they actually did something with some of their depth, though. Like, Ryan Poehling is a good player, and he just never gets a fair shot in Montreal because of the depth.
Yeah.
So,
Maybe a lot of, like, there's a lot of, like, well, not a lot of, but, like, you saw Deneau and Perry leave, and then maybe if Kotkaniemi goes, this is, like, a culture shift for their up-and-comers, right?
It's just, it's like hard somebody, for me to believe.
The old guard is leaving.
No, for sure. And I think to your point, Carter, like that usually happens when things aren't working out. But by all accounts, like, people forget that this team was, you know, at least a contender for the Stanley Cup like a month and a half ago. Right? Yeah. Like, they may not have ever beaten Tampa, but, like,
yeah,
you know, it's not they're, like they
were there.
Exactly. The Leafs need a retooling more than the Habs do, period.
Yeah.
But anyhow, yeah.
Hopefully Curdy Gabriel fighting Wayne Simmons. That's all the retooling that we need.
I love that. I love that.
God.
I am excited to see what the Leafs look like this upcoming season. I think it'll be very interesting. I guess we'll see what happens.
Honestly, like, and I know I probably talk about it way too much for like what it is, but I just love the Nick Ritchie signing so much.
Dude, you know what signing so I am like fun. A bit higher on? Like, I love Nick Ritchie. Like,
Bunting.
I was going ballistic. Well, yeah. Bunting, yes, but Andre Kasha is the one that I'm like fired up about.
Well, if he stays assuming healthy, he can and stay like, healthy. I guess, but he's also like, I don't know what Boston's medical team's like, but like, I doubt Anaheim has like the top tier like medical staff, like,
yeah,
resources just, like, that is available to him. There's like the Dr. Nick of like the NHL, probably. No, that's Buffalo. Well, but like,
if Andre Kasha was just stop stage diving at Chain Reaction, he wouldn't have had all these problems.
Yeah,
I'm in Thomas's camp. I love the Nick Ritchie signing for the Leafs. I think that was such a good play.
It's gonna make the
I'm
team
so excited about it. I'm
it's
not
gonna, make, gonna be good.
Like, it's like so much more entertaining when you have guys like that. Yeah. Just like, yeah. But anyways, should we have our designated wild talk?
Yeah, I feel like we should.
Well, we could talk about Jordy Benn, and like, people were overreacting, I feel like, to that signing, because like, obviously Kalen Addison is knocking on the door and he was able to play last year because of the COVID lockdown and stuff. But like, I also feel, we talked about it a little like last week about like the rookies on your like on your team, but I feel like Addison, especially with the type of player he is, he needs to like get more development from both ends of the ice, yeah. And kind of like
Addison, yeah,
sorry, go ahead, Chris.
I was just gonna say Addison's a great player. He's offensive minded, like he'll be running the power play on that team at some point in my lifetime. I'm sure of that. But the thing that people don't always understand is that, like, with a player like of Addison's skill set and you know, shape in terms of his size and other things like that, he's going to need a little bit more of like a sheltered role on that team to start, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not suggesting that Jamie Benn play top 4 minutes, where I think everyone expects Kalen Addison to be at some point. They're going to need somebody that's a little bit more defensively responsible. And I don't think it's a terrible idea starting out a defenseman who has the potential and the ceiling to be a top four defenseman on that team to spend a little bit more time in Iowa. That's my two cents.
Yeah. Like, I think it, like, he could for sure win the position in camp, but I don't think Jordy Benn is really like preventing him, like stopping in his way. Like, Jordy Benn is like a seventh defenseman at best, I feel like, at this point, especially with like the Kulikov and John Merrill signings. Like, if they didn't sign John Merrill, then like, okay, maybe this is like the one guy that Addison has to go over. But like, Merrill is a better NHL defenseman than Kalen Addison right now. Like, I love
Merrill.
Yeah. Merrill's so fucking good defensively. Like, it is insane. He just like fits the Wild to a T, where he doesn't allow any quality like at all. Like, inside, like, the goalie basically doesn't have to work within like 8 feet of the net around him. He'll never get a shot attempt from that enclosed when Merrill's on the ice. Like, but I think it's just like, I don't think it is a big deal. And I know that this is the year where like people are expecting rookies to make the jump, but I like, especially with the defenseman that they have on the right side already with like Spurgeon and Dumba, like, you would have, so you're like really complaining about your bottom line defenseman and like your 21-year-old like offensively minded guy to get like bottom pairing minutes and not even probably be on the power play, because that's Spurgeon and Dumba right now. So I don't think it's a big deal of what people are talking about. And if Ben plays 30 games, like swapping in for Kulikov or Merrill whenever they're injured or they just need to rest, then that's no problem. I feel like he's bad. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, Jordy Ben is a bad player, but like, it's not, it's just a guy. Like, you don't have to really like twist and turn at night about it, really.
Well, yeah. If Ben was going to do something, he would have done with the league by now.
Well, yeah, and not to mention that, like, I completely agree, Thomas. Like, he's a 7'6", 7'7" guy probably on that team. And I mean, like, they've done a lot on the back end to, you know, really kind of insulate, you know, the likes of Kalen Addison, should he, you know, end up cracking the lineup and playing. Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of if he can crack the lineup. Like, to your point, he's an NHL defenseman. I just think that rather than shelter the absolute shit out of him or have him with someone who's like maybe a little bit more defensively minded, you know, they've kind of bought themselves a little bit of time with some of these shorter term deals, like a Jordy Ben or like a Kulikov, which I believe is just 1 year, right, Thomas?
Kulikov's 2 years.
Oh, 2 years, pardon me.
Yeah. So like, yeah.
But anyhow.
Yeah. And like, even with Dumba coming up too, like, he's a UFA in 2 years. Like, do you think that they're going to keep him around, especially with like the kind of cap situation they're going to be in for that? Like, Addison is pretty much the perfect replacement for him. So if he has to spend like majority of this season in Iowa and the next season, he kind of wins Merrill's position as a bottom pairing guy. And then you see in 2023, him pretty much destined for a top four role. Like, that's not a bad path. And we've seen that so many times before. And he might surprise him, be like, eventually play more minutes than Dumba if he's losing foot speed or anything. Or like, I don't know. It's just, and like, and it's especially what you're saying about like, they turned over the blue line so much this year that you don't know what's going to happen. Like, Alex Gallegos, he might not be the perfect fit and he might be a train wreck of a, like a signing, but it's also just 1 year. So maybe if you like, if you want to have Brodin on your top pairing, and then you'll have to force to play like Merrill or Kulikov on the second pairing, and then you have another spot open. And whether it's Ben or Addison, then it's just a straight ahead battle. So it's, you never know with like so much transition with it. Like, it's, I feel like that. And like, at least, I guess we could touch on the other rookies like Boldy and Rossi quickly, but like, I feel with them, it's a much more straight ahead fight for positions. Like, it's
agreed.
You're battling with like guys like Joseph Cremorosa and Kyle Rau for like spots. Like, I think, well,
and like the other thing too is that people forget, and like, I know this is kind of a goofy way of looking at it, but like, you can only have six defensemen. You can have 12 forwards. So there's like, there's a little bit more flexibility in terms of, you know, where you're going to put people. And I'm not sure that, at least in Rossi and Boldy's case, you need to shelter as much as you would need to shelter a defenseman on this team in particular, right? Where like Rossi, I mean, I think he's going to have like well, I don't know. I guess I'm going to need to temper my expectations a little bit after his year off. But, you know, he looks legit. And I think Boldy is primed to have, you know, a good rookie season as well, based on the short sample size or small sample size that we saw last year. Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm really interested to see what the final, you know, lineup looks like, because I think it's easy to pencil in where Kaprizov is going to play, and easy to pencil in, you know, some of the you know, defenses just in terms of Dumba, Spurge, and Brodin, etc. But what do you think is like the big concern amongst Wild fans right now, aside from Kaprizov, Thomas?
I think it's probably the rookies, honestly, like them getting a fair shot. And I think like Guerin talked about all this time, like, he's not going to just hand over spots to these guys. And obviously it's just like lip service, a lot of it, but like, they have, like, if you can't play better than like Nick Bjugstad or something like in training camp, like especially Boldy, where he kind of plays a similar style, then like, then you should be playing in Iowa and develop further. Like, it's just kind of simple as that. And like, and in the end, like, even if they spent like a month or whatever, like, I feel like Rossi might start in Iowa just because it just feels different. And like, in having those rookies play together, like having Boldy kind of start from the beginning, I feel like, and he plays, they play kind of similar styles, but like, especially if you want to see what Rossi looks like at the center position at a high level, then I feel like that's easier to see. Like, it's more of like a risk factor, I guess, keeping Rossi as a centerman in the NHL and just giving him that spot, like even the third line center spot or whatever.
I think he could play the wing right now. Center, I think, even though he is a center, I think in the NHL might look and feel a little different for his style of game. But if he was to be a center, like, and I think they probably still project him to be a center on in the NHL, I think he would just need, you know, line mates on either wing that complement his style of game, right? Where I can't necessarily think of who the right fit for wingers could be for Rossi, like, today. I don't know. What do you think?
Wait, sorry, what did you say? I thought I was reading a tweet.
Yeah, like, what wingers could you even see Rossi feasibly play with where he would be, like, a sure fit? I'm just thinking from, like, a, you know, puck distribution standpoint.
I would say, like, immediately, I think Fiala would be a good fit because he could get the puck up the ice quicker. And kind of help establish, because Rossi is a good cycle player.
And shoot, Fiala will shoot it.
And Fiala will shoot it. So then if you do that and maybe like Hartman on the other side or something, like, but they might need Hartman at center. So then you have maybe like a Greenway if they want to split up the Eriksson Ek, Foligno, and Greenway line. Then maybe, but like it's hard to say, like, really. And I feel like, I don't know, like, I think everything just needs to be like more patient, and like, and they were patient, like with Kaprizov, like waiting 5 years to see him play. But like, it's more difficult when like the guy's right there and it's like, he's already signed and everything. And like, you're just like really wanting them to just call him up already. And like, especially if a player has a down week or so. But I do think it's just going to be interesting no matter what, like where they play. And they, like, even if they're sheltered, like, it'll be on almost like automatically that they're sheltered because they have like Eriksson Ek ahead of them, where like he will no matter what get the strong, like, the tough competition like every single game and be able to like play better than them. So
yeah,
it's just an automatic thing. But I don't know, I think it's gonna be interesting camp. I think the Wild are probably the one of the more interesting camps to really watch and see where these guys play, because there's even other options like down the line. Like, I might write on this something soon of just like who's actually like capable of playing for spots, but like there's guys like Connor DeWar, Mason Shaw, Brandon Duhaime that are like right on the cusp and like a couple years older. Like, I really like DeWar as like an option in the future.
I think Mason Shaw quite a bit too.
So like they have center options, like depth center options. Like, they're not going to be playing top six guys, and they're not high end guys like Boldy and Rossi, but there's these young guys that are still there and trying to make camp and trying to play better than the Cremarosas and Kyle Rouse and whoever else they brought in, the freaking whatever.
Like, I feel like Kyle Rouse is like 400 years old.
Honestly, well, he's 28.
I know he's old, but I just like remember when he played in Florida and people were like, I think we've got here. And I'm like, I don't know about that. But.
Oh my God.
Shifting gears a little bit. I just got a notification. I wonder, Thomas, if this is what you were reading, instead of paying attention to the podcast. just joking, about Jack Eichel taking his concerns to the NHLPA. Is that what you were reading about?
Oh, wow. Oh, no, I was reading a Dragger tweet, but I did see that. We could talk Eichel.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we talk about Eichel every week. Well, that's interesting, like getting the NHLPA involved. Well, until something gets fucking done,
yeah,
I think we'll have to. Interesting though, that he's, you know, because he changed his agent yesterday. I want to say, or the day before that it came out. Interesting that the NHLPA is getting involved, and I mean, at some point they absolutely should get involved, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, like it's his representatives. Like, it's kind of ridiculous that he's offering them solutions. And if everything we've read is true, and the agent and talking in discussions, it's like how they just want out of there because they're not getting the proper like medical service. And like, as long as this keeps on going on, then like it shortens his season no matter what, because there's a recovery time.
Exactly.
And like, clearly whatever they're doing right now is not working. So it's not like he can go through this different like rehab process and try to get better, but it'll take way longer than the surgery anyways. So it's crazy. I feel like it's like, it's especially that there's just like this is what like Friedman said during that emergency pod or whatever, was like that there's no resolution. Basically like the Sabres like are really like strong willed and not like changing it no matter what, even with the PA involved and like the union and everything. Like,
well, because they're not compelled to really do anything if they don't want to, right?
Yeah.
And I think at some point or another, so it's funny, I felt a little bit bad in the moment about my comments around like, you know, how there is a segment of the hockey world and fandom that like love like Carolina posting memes, and that's how they were able to get this message across on fucking Twitter, and how annoying I think that shit is. And I do think it's fucking annoying, do not get me wrong, but it's like, you know what really grows the game? Like one of the top centers in the league being able to play hockey in front of fans. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like here we are. Here we are.
And getting the medical attention that his body needs. Not even to keep playing, but that his body needs. Like,
exactly. You want to grow the game. You don't need to post, you know, like the troll face on your hockey tweets. Like you can do, you know what I mean? Like you can do other things. And I don't know. It's just, it's so unfortunate because I'm just thinking like, let me ask you guys this question, because one of my answers is definitely Jack Eichel. Is there a player that like, you know, is really good, but like, you just don't see it? Like, not necessarily underrated, but like, for example, we all agree that Jack Eichel is probably what, like a top 10 center, if not better in the league. Right.
Yep.
But like, we also like, just don't really ever see him play because of the team that he's on, right? So it's like, I take your word for it that he's a great player, but like, do you guys have a guy like that?
It might be Eichel, honestly.
Yeah,
like
right,
like or maybe Dry, like
the hardest,
maybe Draisaitl. Like, there's no moves.
We've seen him play with McDavid, though. Like, you see, like,
but you don't see with, like, but McDavid always outshines him. Like, if it's more like a thing. About like
David is another one I feel strongly, or pardon me, Draisaitl is who I feel strongly about.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't see McDavid. No, but like Draisaitl, he gets the counting stats up, but it's more so because of the team he plays on, right? Like, I wonder if Draisaitl was in Eichel's position, what would have, like, would he be even a top center on a team with like no other centers? Like, it's hard.
I have another one that I'll throw out there just to kind of get the wheels turning for you guys. Malkin.
No.
Oh yeah.
Malkin fucking lays the body out though.
Like, no, I know. But like, I guess the question's almost changing a little bit, because like, I think it's easy to look at guys who are like playing second fiddle to like a generational player like a Crosby or a McDavid.
Yeah.
But by that same token, it's just interesting because I don't even think of Eichel as like a top 10 player in the league, just because he doesn't come to mind immediately because he's played on Buffalo. Right. So like, I feel like people thought that about Ekman-Larsson too, at one point, like when he was playing in Arizona before he fell off a cliff.
I think because you don't like, when I was reading an Eichel thing the other day, I forgot he's 24 years old because he's like so back of mind. Yeah. I would think he's a lot older than he is.
Right,
like I think he's younger than Kaprizov. Let me see this fucking shit.
I think he is. I think he's a year, maybe 2 years younger than Kaprizov.
But no, Eichel's definitely.
Oh no, he's older. He's like, older. Sorry.
Even like I'm just trying to think of like the Chicago's and the LA's and like, or maybe even Bertuzzi. Bertuzzi's one of those players for me, like in Detroit.
Okay, yeah, that's a good call. Like a good player on a bad team.
Yeah, like I think if he like he's doing very well with like what he has in Detroit, like all things considered. So I feel like if he had a bit more support, he'd be somebody that we'd be talking about on those top lists.
Even what Larkin like too.
I was gonna say Larkin. Yeah, Larkin's the one that stands out as well.
But besides things like that could always like just immediately transform. Like it sucks that like Eichel's been stuck in this situation with Buffalo where like they've been catastrophically terrible for so long. Like you've seen Florida turn around with Barkov. Like Barkov was stuck on bad teams for a very long time.
Yeah,
that's true. But he was just able to kind of outshine and stick with it. And then you get the Huberdeau's and then like Huberdeau's explosion, and then you kind of just make a little trades here and there. Like they kind of just gradually get better into becoming a kind of a top eight team in the league. And like that stuff can happen really quickly. So it's just unfortunate with Eichel that it's just taken like his whole career away his whole career, but like it's just so far just because they've been like not able to make any proper moves at all.
Yeah, well, his glory days are gone. And, like, you know, things are really bad in an organization when they're starting to offer, like, flex packs on their season pass.
Or their season tickets.
Like that's when you know that, like, it's time. Like, that's even when the captain wants to, like, does not want to go down with the ship is when they start selling 20-game flex packs.
Yeah. The thing is, like, and I agree, like, and I think that's part of the reason I'm, like, very high on the idea of Eichel going to, like a Montreal or like I really anywhere. Would love to see him in Anaheim just because they've got so much in the cupboards to like really insulate him the right way. And like the weird thing is, I know we talked about this last week, I think a year or two years ago, we were saying the same thing about Buffalo. Like, oh, they've got so much in the cupboard. But like, if you look at guys, like I know we talked
about don't know Casey how to use Middlestat.
Well, that's it. Or they just use and abuse them before their ELC is done. And then they're just, you know, kind of not in the same place. Like, I remember when Casey Middlestat was playing in that one World Juniors and everyone was like, this guy can't miss. He's so good. And it's like, Casey Middlestat is good. But in Buffalo, it's like, oh, my God. Same with Olofsson. You know that?
Victor Olofsson.
Yeah, like, a bit of a coming out party in the last couple of years, like him on literally any other team, you're just like, oh man, this guy's like a pure goal scorer and just not given the opportunity because he's got, you know, Ristolainen and, you know, saucing a pizza through the middle of the ice.
Yeah.
So,
but that's like also the underrated thing of like, I know I talk about it enough where like I've turned to it and like been in favor of it, but like team quote unquote culture of it, like establishing this foundation of like, we'll support you. We have this like already prepared. You're coming into a situation where you're not expected to be like, to basically lead it right away.
Go ahead, buddy.
Well, I was just going to say like, even if they went full rebuild, like they're already doing it, trading Reinhardt and Ristolainen and everything, but like, you're going to have to try to attract like a foundation of it. Like it's not, like I know there's like
it's building the right base though. Like we were talking about it with Lundqvist in New York, and then we were saying that like they're gonna chase the cup or the money no matter what. And then Rask comes out a week later and says Boston's my home, it's where I wanna end up. Like, and so then it's like Boston's clearly built a culture that like fosters like longevity, right? And like it's attracting people to want to come in. Like,
the other thing too, though, with Rask, though, is he already won his cup, right? So, like, if that was the motivation, and I'm not saying it is, but like, he's got his ring, right? Where Lundqvist,
he's checked the box,
Well, even like, and we didn't even talk about it yet, but the Couturier signing, like, the Flyers must have done something that like they just established. I know Couturier might be just like a like do it for the team kind of guy, but they must have like they have something created. Like whether it's Giroux and Van Riemsdyk and Atkinson coming in and them already establishing this kind of like foundation kind of centered around Giroux has made Couturier be like, I want to stay with this team, like for my rest of my career. Like it's just, and like, even if you look at the Leafs, like it's, I know we talk about them enough, but like how they did their rebuild and they have this like little foundation of like, headlined by Riley and Kadri when they were bringing in the Nylander, Marners and Matthews kind of players.
Yeah.
So they had this like already built like early 20s, 23, 24 guys. And then you get your next like high level. Like Buffalo got rid of that. Like Reinhardt and Eichel could have been that, for the forwards, and like Ristolainen is bad, so whatever. But like, it's, they could have had that if they just wanted to stay competitive and stay within that culture and kind of build a foundation with them, and then bring in your guys because you're still bad. Your middle stats, let them kind of develop, because they're still like, they're not heralded to be the next great thing. Like, they're still projected as like a middle six guy. Like, you get your guy playing in college and everything, like in the AHL, and seeing what they can do, and then you build that from there.
But the trouble with Buffalo in that way is, though, is that there's always been like a whipping boy, right? Now it's Jack Eichel because of everything going on, which is fine. You know, they've kind of had this person playing that role this whole time. And I'll tell you, if the whipping boy when Jack Eichel's gone, you know, like, I think Casey Mittelstadt has already been kind of their whipping boy from a forward perspective. But when it becomes Dylan Cousins, I'm going to scream.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to literally scream, because Dylan Cousins is like, oh my God, I'm such a big fan of his. Like, I love the way he plays. I love that he's got like a little bit of like a, you know, like a chip on his shoulder. You know, he fought a few times last year. You know, he's like literally fighting for his life in Buffalo. And
yeah,
it's kind of this thing where like, I'm trying to be like very cautiously optimistic, because I think, you know, once Eichel's gone, I think it becomes Dylan Cousins and Dahlin's team and Owen Power's team.
Yeah.
You know, right? Like, I think those are kind of the three pieces there. But at the same time, it's just like, you know, they did the same thing to Alex Nylander, and like, look at where he is now in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's kind of a few thoughts I have that way, but I also think, to your point about Couturier, Thomas, it's also like about the market and the team, right? Mm-hmm. So from like a culture perspective, you know, we see this thing happen with Tuukka Rask, where he comes out and says like, you know, you guys can sign me for a cheap deal. The only team I'm playing for is Boston. I think that certain hockey markets, they kind of do that, right? Like, they have like this almost brand loyalty where they don't want to deviate from the team that was so good to them, or from, you know, the market that was so good for them. And that's where Toronto is frustrating for me. Because although I haven't become this like Marner conspiracy theorist, I look at the size of that contract and I go, you couldn't get the, you know, the hometown boy to take a bit of a haircut on the price. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at Couturier and you're like, okay, that's the only team he's ever played for. Like, I don't know if you guys remember the NHL, like, what was that show on HBO? Like, the Road to Winter Classic, I want to say.
Yeah, like, and we 24/7. Saw Couturier,
yeah, and we saw Couturier as a rookie playing, you know, with Claude Giroux, or not Claude Giroux, pardon me. Who am I thinking of? Oh, my God, this is Voracek? No, not Voracek. He's the GM of, yeah, Briere. I was gonna say the GM of the
Mariners. Wow.
Daniel Briere. But like,
he's now with the Flyers as a development coach. Now,
That's right.
But I've literally seen video of him on my timeline as we were recording, of him working with Morgan Frost. So that's a little Chris content for you.
There it is, little Chris content. But you see, like, that's the type of stuff where you're like, okay, they want to be here. Like, they love it. Yeah. They want to be here, right? I think about even, and I know we haven't talked about it yet, but, you know, I was planning on talking about it. You see all the things that have come out since Jimmy Hayes tragically passed away last week. And it's like, this guy is like a Boston hockey guy, and he only played for the Bruins for a short window, but like the impact that he's had on that community, not only being from that community, but like the impact that he's had on minor hockey and all of those different things, you know, it's such a tragedy in and of itself, but you also think about the positive impact that he had in his community in that way. Right. Like, are people saying that about Mitch Marner? Are people saying that about other players in these big markets, where it's like, you know, these people are doing great work? And listen, let me be clear, I'm not like anti-Marner or anything like that. It's just, when you look at the other work that's being done, it's hard to not compare people's desire to stay and love playing for an organization, and then see to this point what we've seen from Marner. And you know what, who knows, maybe this this Amazon series that comes out. We watch it and we're like, oh, wow, he does really want to be a Leaf. This is great. We love him. But to be honest with you,
bullshit. There's nothing I've wanted to stay farther away from than whatever the hell that thing's called.
All or nothing.
All or nothing. Have you watched any of them? I watched the Eagles one. All or nothing.
No, I didn't watch any of them. Oh, I thought this was the first one. I didn't realize they did an Eagles one.
Yeah, they do like an NFL one every year. They do a Premier League one every year.
Oh, there you go.
They do.
I already watched enough soccer content. It's called Ted Lasso. That's the only thing I'll watch.
Oh my god,
involving soccer. But do you guys get where I'm coming from? Like, what are your guys' thoughts? Do I sound like a crazy person or what?
No, because I think from my point of view, like seeing, like I know I'm reverting to Minnesota all the time, but like not Dumba. Like he does so much for the community, and he wants to play there. Even though his name has been in trade rumors for like 3 years now, like he's still doing everything he can to like be like represent Minnesota and represent the Wild in St. Paul and everything that's going on there. Like it's hard to see. And like, I literally, the only like time you see Marner like off the ice is when he's doing commercials. It's just difficult to see the kind of like, you see it from other teams and kind of like point out and be like, why can't we have one of those dudes? Like that's science.
I think that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's understandable too.
This past week with Svechnikov as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's signing away his prime too. Like, with Couturier, you get it. Like, it's so long of a deal that he's going to be like 37 when it expires. Like, it's so you could clearly see, like, he just wants security. And even if he has to take a pay cut, then whatever. But it's still like, you'd see Svech and like what type of player he can become, and him just taking like, like so, like, I don't know. It's just, it's weird.
To me, it's frustrating because it's like, you see, I guess I could sum up my feelings by just saying like, you know, we see players go on team friendly deals to stay where they're happy. And like tax and income and side income and all these other things aside, it's like, why can't we have that? I think that's probably more where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
But anyways, it is what it is.
Well, Marner is also getting the BioSteel, the True Hockey, the Apple money, everything, right? Like, it's not that he's just getting his 10.9, he's getting his everything else. But sorry.
No. I agree completely. I don't know what we're going to do, boys. Anything else that you guys want to talk about before we wrap up today?
No, I think that was a good closing rant.
Yeah, not bad, right?
Yeah. Is there anything coming up in the, I guess it's just training camps and stuff. We'll figure out. We'll see all of that.
Training,
preseason training camps.
Absolutely. Hopefully the Wild can
sign Capra's off. Isn't ruined.
Yeah, seriously.
Whatever.
What will we do? Hopefully we'll see. You know, it's another interesting thing that I'm like kind of forgetting about, that may not be that interesting, but like, you guys looked at Dallas's goaltending situation at all recently?
No.
Isn't so Ben Bishop?
They have Ben Bishop, Khudobin, and Braden Holt. Did you know that?
30. I know that Holby signed there, but I forgot they still had Khudobin.
Yeah. So I wonder if one of those goals, like, so Ben Bishop is like injured quite a bit. So I wonder if he starts on LTIR. I can't remember if he's going to, like, what I've heard or things like that around that. But it would be interesting to see which goalie ends up, because I think Khudobin's gone. Like, If they have to keep Ben Bishop, Khudobin is a good goalie. So it'll be interesting to see where he lands.
Well, Bishop sat the entire last season. I just remember that. And it's Khudobin and Ottinger. Yeah.
But then that's the other thing. Are they going to put Ottinger, who's like, you know, a young, good goalie, back on Texas in the AHL? Like, that to me just doesn't really make sense. I mean, he's already shown that he's an NHL goalie.
Really? Let me see his fucking stats. Here.
Well, like, I don't remember what the stats are like.
On 11 save percentage in 29 games.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So, I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Good enough to be a backup, not good enough for to sure. be a starter in Texas again.
Like, better than being a Texas, in Texas, you mean?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like, it's just, it's hard, I feel like. And all this stuff plays out, too, like, later down the road. Like, it's... there's injuries probably coming up, especially with all of them being older, and Holpe might not be the same player that he once was. And Bishop waves his no move for the expansion draft. So maybe there's like a rift there of like, I'm in a situation where maybe I want to go to a team that needs a goalie.
Like
I can't think of it. Yeah, maybe. Like, yeah, Edmonton. Oh, they just re-signed Mike Smith. Holy fuck.
Lock the door, Cohen.
Who's that?
Pittsburgh.
Sorry, guys.
Wow.
You good?
Close the fucking door.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, maybe Pittsburgh or something. But yeah, like it's a weird situation. I feel like that'll play out eventually, but it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I haven't really been paying attention to Dallas because
I was gonna say I really feel like we're grasping at straws here, talking about who's gonna crack the Texas Stars lineup in August.
Listen, I just wanted to bring it up because I was like, this goaltending thing doesn't make sense to me. Yeah, can you tell we're in the off season? Let's shut her down then. Good pod today, boys. Appreciate your time. This has been good.
Did you see the thing I sent you?
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it in a second here.
Do it right now.
The thing that you sent me in the chat?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I will. Okay. Carter, good luck with everything. Make sure that you wear a helmet.
Yeah, we're a hard hat.
I've been wearing steel toes at the very least.
There you go.
Attaboy.
Steel toe Blundstones?
Yeah.
There you steel go. Toe Converse steel toes. Lows?
Yeah, we got a couple of those lying around.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Have a good one.
Peace. Later, boys.
All right, Thomas.